I was so glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was so glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. So about 2,900 years ago, our spiritual ancestors sang that on their way to Zion. The Zion, not this one here, but the one in the Middle East. And for us, the house of the Lord, the Zion, is the people with whom we are worshiping here. But also the joyful assembly in heaven and on earth. People around the world this very day in every time zone. We're actually among the last of the groups to gather for Christian worship today. I was so glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord so that I could be here with you today. A warm welcome in Christ to all worshipers gathering with us, and then for any who are here for the first time, a special welcome to you as well. I hope we all get a chance to meet you later on today. I'd especially like to mention Kevin Wally, who is visiting with us, and we'll hear from him just a little bit later today, representing Gideon's ministry. And if you say, wait a minute, we didn't get the usual notice a week or two ahead of time that anybody would be coming for Gideon's, you would be absolutely right. My goof. But we're glad that he's here today, and you'll get to hear from him later. We're also celebrating the giving of some Bibles to some third graders and the growth in faith in body, soul, and spirit of young people among us. Hopefully everyone's growth through the watering of the Word in our hearts by God's Spirit. I invite any who have announcements to please, well, actually, let's take a moment just to greet those around you, especially look for someone you didn't greet on the way in. So let's take a moment to greet each other with a word of blessing or welcome, and then come up for announcements, please. Let us begin with announcements. Stan.
So a week ago yesterday, we had the MCC cell in Albany, and the kind of preliminary, or, well, approximately $90,000 was raised. And even though that's down a little bit from previous years, it was a very successful sale, and many of you were involved in that in a variety of ways, and thank you very much. I'm on the leadership team that does some planning for that, and so we'll be meeting in November to review it, and certainly one of the things we'll be reviewing is the food service and some changes that we tried this year. Then some of them didn't work out so well, and some of them were okay. So I know there have been some concerns about that, so we'll be addressing that for our future. But thank you again for your contribution.
In your bulletin, there's an insert. I'm on the gifts discernment committee, and we're looking for people to fill some of these positions. And so I or Cheryl Mast might be giving you a phone call to ask you if you'd be interested in them. If you want more information, there's job descriptions for all of them so we can tell you what more that entails. For the PNMC conference delegate, this year it's going to be in Seattle, in those two congregations. There's one in Seattle, one in Kirkland, and they generally do it together. I don't have a lot of details. It is going to be the last weekend in June. So if you're considering, oh, that sounds like a fun thing to do, to go to Seattle and represent our congregation, just know that will be the last weekend of June. So if you have other things. And then I was just going to give a little plug. The junior hires and the high schoolers are invited to Steve and I's house this evening. We're going to play Dutch Blitz. Morgan Martin is going to be joining us. She's from Heston College. She's going to be talking about Heston just a little bit, and she'll bring pizza. So, and there will be brownies and other goodies to eat. So join us. Oh, 6, sorry, or whenever you show up.
I would like to remind you for the last time. We still have 5 gallons of cider in the refrigerator in the kitchen. It's from the MCC Fall Festival. It's $6 a gallon or 2 gallons for 10. Feel free to pick it up. I won't be able to hang around. You could get the money to me or to Jeremy anytime soon. Okay? And Louis Lehman's men's group is doing our second and final program this afternoon at 3 o'clock at Lebanon Mennonite Church. I was apprehensive that could come together after our first practice. But actually, it went quite well. You can ask Sheila about that. So if you're looking for something to do at 3 this afternoon, please come down and hear a good old-fashioned men's choir.
I'm going to start the worship time from down here with the reading of the gospel, because right after this I'm going to need some help, especially from the children. And this particular story that I'm reading from the gospel is a case in which Jesus demonstrated the truths of Psalm 139 from which Jana is going to be speaking. So you may watch along or as you listen to me read it. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Okay, I'm going to need the children's help, especially if you know the song. I understand you do it sometimes downstairs before Sunday school starts. Any children here, help me. Zacchaeus was okay, and a wee little, he climbed up in the hazelnut, no. Sycamore tree for, why did he do that? Wanted to see, and when the Savior passed him by, he looked up and did say, "Zacchaeus, you come down from there," and why? Not just once. "I'm going to your house today." You knew that one? Okay. Why this story this particular morning? To me, it says that there is no one too little for Jesus to notice. No one unknown. No one whose name Jesus does not know. No one whose past is so sordid and corrupt and cruddy that Jesus is not seeking entry into his home, his heart, his life. Jericho was, according to Old Testament law, a city for the priests. It wasn't just priests who lived there, but that was a place where priests lived, logically, because it's not too far from Jerusalem. So you would think that a righteous rabbi would go to stay in the house of a religious professional. Instead, he goes to invites himself to the house of Zacchaeus, one of the corrupt tax collectors. And they were pretty much all corrupt because Rome sort of gave them the franchise and said, the only pay you're going to get is what you charge extra. That you get to keep for yourself. That made them the least popular people in their communities. So again, as you listen to Jana and as you listen to her thoughts and the reading of Psalm 139, I think you'll hear, think to Jesus coming to Zacchaeus. No one too little to be noticed. No one whose name is not known. No one who Jesus would not keep approaching. Would you join me in prayer, please? Gracious Lord, as we enter this time of worship, as we call upon you with words of praise and songs of adoration, dear Lord, may we also hear your voice, calling us, inviting yourself into ever more spaces within us and among us, in our hearts and in our relationships. This we pray in the name of the one who came seeking worshipers, whom the Father is calling. Amen. May we sing now.
Please join me as we worship in song.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. You are Lord of creation and Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea. You were Lord of the heavens before there was time, Lord of all lords you will be. We bow down and we worship you, Lord, we bow down. And we worship you, Lord, we bow down. And we worship you, Lord, Lord of all lords you will be. You are Lord of creation and Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea. You were Lord of the heavens before there was time, and Lord of all lords you will be. Bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. Lord of all lords, you will be. Oh God, you are my God. I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning. I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Will seek you in the morning, I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days, and I will follow you all of my days, follow you all of my days, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness.
One more time.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, great is thy faithfulness.
I'd like you now to please stand and turn in the blue hymnal to number 521. This is a song that reminds us that the grace of God never ends. And though we are likely to wander from God at times, He is always seeking us. And then I always have to be reminded when we sing a song about what this Ebenezer word is that we sing in verse 2. And the Ebenezer is a stone of help, a reminder that God will come to our rescue when we humble ourselves before Him. 521.
Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never cease, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, some by flaming tongues above. Raise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's unchanging love. Here I raise my
There are many ways we can worship with, yes, our voices, with our hearts, with our hands and feet, and with our checkbooks and wallets and any other ways that we can give of the substance that God has given to us. So I invite the ushers to come forward, please, to prepare to receive the offering. And please join me again in prayer to consecrate your gift and us, the givers. Let's pray. To you who own the cattle on 1,000 hills, who know every bird, every tree, every seed and flower by name and call them forth, O God, thank you for making us participants in the growing and the giving and the sharing of life and love. And we pray that this act of offering might also be a participation in the cultivation and the growth of your kingdom throughout this world. So bless the gifts and the givers, we pray, O God, and those who cannot give at this time as well, that, O Lord, their substance, their presence even, would bless you as well. This we pray in the name of him who is your most exceedingly great gift to us. Amen. And now may we have the children come forth for this story with Chris.
Good morning. Did it work this time? I think it's there. Okay, Stacy's going to call a couple of you over first to get your new Bibles.
As we serve downstairs, we get the opportunity to show Jesus' love to these kids and to foster community among them. We're so thankful for each child and for each teacher in our primary Sunday school classes. This morning, we have some Bible storybooks to give to incoming two-year-olds and Bibles to give to children who are readers.
Their Sunday school teachers come forward so you can give them the Bibles. And if parents, if they need a parent up here with them, it's fine. They can come. We want to thank these teachers. They have... there's a potential of 9 2-year-olds in that class. So I think we should give them a hand. Thank you. But you know, for each teacher, just thank you again. You bless our kids, whether you have 1 or 2 kids in your class or not. So we have wonderful teachers, and we're so thankful for these kiddos here this morning. We have a smaller group today. But so, Felix, you want to come up? And your teacher will give you a new Bible. Here you go. Yeah, you can. Why don't you come in? This is unrehearsed, so we'll. There. You can go back to your room. Thank you.
No, my Bible.
Yes. And Nathan. Oh, I should say that Felix is the son of Caitlin Kaufman. So thank you, Caitlin. And Nathan is coming up, and he's the grandson of Richard and Barbara Dinsmore. So, Nathan. Thank you. So those are the books for the two-year-olds, and then when they get to be in third, are you guys going to be in third grade?
Second, third.
Second and third. So Dane is the son of Leslie and Mark Paradis. The reason I'm saying this is because you see these kids, but you don't always know who they are. And Lauren and Carol are his grandparents, right, Dane? Yes. And Everett is the son of Seth and Bree Ettinger. Yes. And I see, I guess that's all that's here for today. So we have some that are not here, so we might be doing this again. Okay. And Chris now will have the children's story for them.
So congratulations to all of you that got your new Bibles today. Excellent. Excellent. Isn't it nice to have your own Bible? Yeah, so congratulations. Did you guys know that, according to Wikipedia, 100 million Bibles are sold every year in the world? 100 million Bibles. I can't count that high. So the Bible tells us everything we need to know about God and Jesus, like how God created the whole universe and the earth and every living creature and everything on the earth. And in the New Testament, when you read that, it tells us everything that Jesus taught and all the things he did. Now, did you know that our church has a Bible over here on this big table that was printed in 1880? So that makes that Bible 139 years old. So I had to touch it the other night to see when it was printed. But it is more of a piece of art now than it is something you look at. So I want to warn you guys, don't try to lift that Bible or touch it without a grown-up when you get older, maybe because it's really heavy and it's really old and the pages might tear. So we look at it, but we don't ever touch that one. So I brought my Bible with me somewhere. Oh, there it is. So this is my first Bible that I got, and I was in high school before I got my first Bible. But this is the one that I bring with me every week to church, and when the scripture is read for that day, I open up to it, and I circle it. Now, that one I was doing a little doodling that day. You can see all those little circles I made. But as it's being read, then I think about it, and I write little notes. Some other pages I saw that this one, there I did some underlining, and I did some writing. And then this one back here, there was a lot this day. A lot of times that one got read. And I write the date by each one. And that helps me keep it in my mind and my heart. But this is my daughter's second Bible. She made hers personal by coloring the whole side of it blue. It used to be white, but that's how she used her Bible. You can see she drew a picture of a horse head there. That was always what her thing was. And then inside she did some other random art. But it's her Bible. It's her personal Bible, and that's the way she did her art in hers. Now, my son's first Bible, Kendra's first Bible was pink. My son's first Bible was blue, and you can see that he used it a lot. He took it to Sunday school every Sunday. He took it out to Drift Creek Camp, where it may have fallen in Drift Creek. He took it to Vacation Bible School, and he got this when he was 6 years old, and it has beautiful illustrations. Because sometimes when you're only six, it's kind of hard to understand. So his version had a lot of beautiful pictures in it to help him understand the stories of God. And then being a typical male, when it started to wear out, what did he fix it with?
Tape.
Duct tape. So that is my son's Bible. And in the back, it has a pretty map. And then in his little boy writing, he wrote down the Ten Commandments. Now that's how he used his Bible, and that made it his very personal Bible. And then the last one I brought, when my mama, she died about a year ago, the last 2 years she said to me, you know, Chris, I just can't read the Bible anymore. That print is so little. So I went to the store, and you know what they also make? A Bible with big print. So this is the last Bible I got for my mom for Christmas 2 years ago, and she could read it and enjoy it, even though she was getting older and her eyes weren't so good as you guys' eyes. So that's some of the different Bibles that are in my life. And now you guys each have, a lot of you now, have your own Bible. So it's your decision. If you want to write in it and draw on it and make it your own, you can. And if you want to keep it just like new, you can do that too, as long as you look at it and read it often. Okay, we're going to say a quick prayer. Do you look at yours? Good, Lisa. Okay, make your prayer hands. Very good. Dear Lord, thank you, and thank you, God, for your words and all the stories in our Bibles that we can read and learn all about you and Jesus. Amen. Good job.
In a moment, I will invite Kevin Wally to come forth and tell us something about the ministry of Gideon's Bible. We hear from them about once a year, and we've had a long-standing relationship and connection with that ministry. And also, just in case I forget to say so later, afterwards, Kevin will be there to take any word of greeting you have, and there is a basket also for any contributions you'd wish to make by either cash or check. And I guess, Wally, you can tell us how to make it by check if that's the way to go. So, Wally, please come forward and tell us something about yourself and about Gideon's ministry.
Thank you. I am Kevin Wally. I thank Pastor Swore for having me here today and give me a few minutes to speak with you. First, I want to say you have such beautiful children. And it's so wonderful to see them and to see also that you have hearts to give them the scriptures, to put them in their hands, and to the teachers that I know you have a heart to put them in their hearts. And that's where they really do the work that the Lord intends. So I look forward to seeing that kind of thing happen in the world. And that's what the Gideons are about. So my purpose is to share a little bit about the Gideons today with the hope that you will assist us in bringing scriptures to a lost and dying world. So with that, let me begin. And now, hell. Andrei Vetrov thought it would help his career as an entertainer to be in a good mood, so he turned to drinking. Instead, it led to alcohol addiction, and soon he was abusing drugs, too. He overdosed and had a vision. It was death, he said. I heard a man's voice, and now hell. I awoke in the hospital. Later at home, he found a Gideon's New Testament. I don't know how it got there, Andre said. Maybe my brother brought it home. Andre read the helps in the front of the Bible, and it was exactly what he needed. Realizing hell was the only thing that he deserved, he continued reading daily. Andre owed money to a gang and only had half of it. To calm his fears, he kept reading scripture. God spoke to him through Matthew 10. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for it will be given to you in that hour. Those words rang in his mind with the same power as the voice he heard during his overdose, but now the voice gave him great hope, and he asked Christ to save him. When confronted by the gang, Andre spoke so boldly they let him go. He later recalled, "Back at home, I realized I hadn't taken any medicine that day. I didn't smoke, and I didn't use bad language." His brother noticed the change, too, and Andre told him how Christ had changed his life. He's now been a Gideon for 10 years and serves as president of his camp and trains other Gideons in Russia. The Gideons International receives inspiring testimonies like this regularly, and it's very satisfying to see a life turn to Christ after exposure to God's mighty word. When you hear the name Gideons, you probably think about the Bibles you often see in hotels. These are an important and highly visible part of our ministry over the last century, but hotel Bibles make up only 8% of our distributions. Through your support, we also give Bibles to young people at schools and colleges, and we provide scriptures for prisons, police, firefighters, medical personnel, and our military. All Gideons are members of local churches. Gideons International is organized in more than 190 countries, and our members live in those countries where they serve. Gideons know the language and the culture and share God's word with neighbors, family, and friends. With your support, last year, Gideons distributed more than 94 million copies of God's word in 90 languages. We're seeing wonderful results in places like India, where scripture distributions have grown dramatically and could grow even more if funds were available for more scriptures. Our single purpose is to see lost people come to faith in Christ. By God's grace, this is done through personal witnessing and distributing copies of God's word, copies you help provide. If the Lord is so moving you today, please make a gift to us. For about $1.25, you can provide a scripture for placement by the Gideons. This includes all costs in getting a scripture printed and into the hands of someone who needs it. Perhaps today you could fill the open and waiting hands of 100 people in a country where many cannot afford a Bible. If you wish, you may make your check payable to the GI, or you can also go to our website, which is easy to remember. It's www.gideons.org. This website has the ability to take a gift through credit card giving, if you prefer that, or online checks. Gideon cards are another wonderful way to touch lives with God's word. You can send a card to family or friends in memory of a loved one, or to let someone know you're praying for them, and at the same time, give a gift to the Gideons. You can look for the display, which is by the main entrance to the sanctuary back there, mounted on the wall. Your gift, through whatever form you choose to give it, will have eternal consequences. For the scripture tells us that when the Lord's word goes out, it will not return to him void. So thank you for the opportunity to share today about the ministry of Gideon's International. It's a privilege to worship with you today, and God bless you.
Thank you, Kevin. In my occasional visits with immigration detainees at Norcorp Prison, one of the questions we always ask is, what are you needing? And usually it comes down to three things. Money to fill up our telephone account, translation of some documents, and a Spanish language Bible. You can count on those three, especially the last one, Spanish language Bible. Now would you join me again in prayer, actually joining our great shepherd and the great intercessor, who knows us all intimately, in praying. Let's pray. Who knows us as well? Who knows us as intimately as do you, O Lord? And who loves us as faithfully as do you, our Creator and Redeemer? Where do we see ourselves with as much grace and truth, having as much honor and hearing as much honesty as in your word? Where do we find such glorious everlasting hope, and yet also find our false hopes exposed and dismantled, as in the word that we and the generations before us and afterward, we pray, may read and hear, and which some of our children have just received? You, Lord, who dwell in the praises of Israel, who have spoken through the prophets, the poets, the lawgivers, and now in these last days through Jesus, your Son, and through his apostles, speak today, Lord, for your servants would hear. And speak to each one of us today here, whatever we need most to hear, through your word, through Jana, through each other, through the testimony of other saints in song or prayer, for your servants would hear. And bless this assembly this morning as you so wish and as we need most. And bless also this assembly as it scatters in the days and months and years ahead with the same intimate knowledge and love for our relationships and for our mission as you so intimately know and love not only each individual person here, as though each one of us was the only person you'd ever created in your image. And may such love shine not only as it grows among us, but may it go forth as a light in our darkening world, and so draw the world and the community towards yourself. And this we pray for your honor and for the everlasting joy of all creation, in the name of one, the one who is your living word, ever interceding for us. Amen. Jenna?
Just to the sound tech guy, Roger, I want you to go to the photo of the child. To go to that slide, please. I want to give a little bit of instruction about the end of this service today, because this is something new. I'm taking a risk today in having a time of ministry and prayer. So when that happens, I'm going to invite Matthew and Karen Krupp, Chris Cady, and myself will be available up front if you would like to have prayer. This isn't an altar call. This is a time for us to support each other, to encourage each other in those things that are happening in our lives. So when we get to that place, you will understand more, but I just want you to know that's going to happen at the end of my message. I'm so excited to be able to speak on this passage because it is one of my favorites out of the Bible. And if those children with their new Bibles would take their Bible and go to about the middle of your Bible and turn to Psalm 139, you can follow along. I don't want to put the words on the screen today because I want you to be able to look in your Bible, look on your device to follow along and hear the words. My title is called Slowly Savoring Scripture. And what I want to try to convey today is a space where we can slow down and listen to words that can speak more personally to us than all the words we've heard this week. Because words are everywhere. They're on talking heads. They're on the radio, they're on the television, they're on our newsfeed. And I want the words today that you hear to speak sanity, to speak to those deep places in you and me. Words that sustain our identity, words that tell us who we are. These are words of life. Wonderful words of life. In the book called The Way of the Heart by Henry Nouwen, he says the minister's task is to help people concentrate on the real but often hidden event of God's active presence in their lives. The question that must guide all organizing activity in a church is not how to keep people busy, but how to keep them from being so busy that they can no longer hear the voice of God. And most of the time, God speaks to us in silence. And that's a hard place to find in our world today. Calling people together means calling them away from the fragmenting and distracting wordiness of the dark world to that silence where they can discover themselves and each other and God. Let's have a moment of silence. I will begin reading from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 12. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. For darkness is as light to you. This beautiful psalm expresses God's intimate and intentional knowledge of each person. It suggests that every crucial part of our identity was known to God. It was crafted before we were born. And as beings made in such love, we are created good. This psalm expresses that there is nowhere we can go that will remove us from God's steadfast love and presence. He is present with us. But more importantly, He knows us. He follows inside of us. We don't have to make sure our lives are perfect and sinless to find God. We don't have to attend church to find God, because God has already found us. Regardless of our situation, regardless of what today is, regardless of what's happening in our lives right now, isn't that wonderful news? God has found us. And He's always facing us. I like this thought of, I feel far from God, so where is He? If God hasn't moved, we're the ones that have moved away from God. He is not the one that's moved. And when we wander away, He's watching us. He's watching us taking on the world by ourselves. But He does nothing to block what's happening, the decisions we're making, the things that we've created to be drama in our lives. He's still with us. He's traveling alongside of us. And when we get to those places of our kind of own craziness, our own madness, does He thump us? No. He is facing us. He embraces us. And we turn to Him with gratitude to say, God, You're here, and I need You. I want to talk about the darkness in verse 11. Surely the darkness will hide me, and the night will become night around me. There is no place that we can go that God is not present. And the story of Jonah in the Bible is a good example of this. I did a little search on Jonah. It's about wandering from God. Jonah is the wayward prophet who flees from God's summons to prophesy against the wickedness of the city of Nineveh. And Jonah decides to find the farthest place he can go where he doesn't think God's going to be. So he goes to the farthest limits of the sea. He gets on a boat and he thinks he's, good to go. And a storm comes and rages on that boat. And the men are thinking, something's going on here. We're having bad luck. Well, here's this guy. We don't know him. And we're going to throw him over the ship because we don't like this storm. So they throw Jonah over the boat. And Jonah is swallowed by a great fish at the bottom of the sea. And even in that utter darkness, that suffocating dark, God is with Jonah, and Jonah prays to God, and God hears him and miraculously preserves his life. The fish comes up, spits him out. He's on dry land. God is with us in the darkness. Verses 13 through 17. For You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in Your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are Your thoughts, O God. There's a Hebrew word that translates to inward parts. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. It's K-I-L-Y-A-H, Kila. And it means kidney. The ancient people understood this organ to be the base of reason and emotions, even a sense of right and wrong. So I Googled the purpose of the human kidney, and this is what Google says. The kidney helps the body pass waste. It also helps filter blood before sending it back to the heart. The kidneys perform many crucial functions, including creating hormones that help produce red blood cells, promote bone health, and regulate blood pressure. The kidney is important to the heart, to keep the heart functioning. So you know what? We have more than 600 muscles. We have thousands of hairs, some of us more than others. We have billions of nerves. Some parts work all by themselves. I want you to put your hand over your heart. Do you feel it beating? It will beat as long as you live. Your heart works all by itself. What about our breathing? We don't have to remember to breathe. We can forget about it because our body's going to breathe all by itself. Can we imagine everything that happens in our bodies? Can we know all about its parts? No, no human can. Only God understands fully. God knows us. God knows us deeply. And if we are willing to admit that in our times of feeling pretty self-sufficient, it helps ground us in who we are and whose we are. In verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed body. God knew us when we were the tiniest embryo, when our mothers were barely aware of our existence. Never have we known an hour when we were separated from God. The writer of Psalm 139 says that we are linked to God. Through time and through space, we are linked to God. It's not that we have successfully desired this relationship with the Almighty, the Creator of the universe, because we love because He first loved us. God made a way to us, and that's through Jesus, His Son. He fulfilled this yearning for relationship with us by coming to us in Jesus. God with us. So this Psalm 139 started connecting for me at age 16. And I think there was a connection at 16 because I was becoming an adult. And what is the most exciting thing that happens when you turn 16? Can I hear it from anybody out there? Driver's license. You get freedom. You get independence. You don't need your parents so much anymore. And I feel like that scripture helped me know comfort and encouragement that this God wants to know me. Well, He already does, and that He's with me all the time. When you're 16, you start becoming aware of how you look. And that takes time and it takes anxiety because we want to be liked and we want to be accepted. It's more about our physical appearance. I can remember my mom having issues with me. She sewed a lot of my clothes, and I didn't like how they looked on me. I wanted my dresses shorter than she wanted them. So I was aware of becoming an adult and my appearance. I wanted to be accepted. But our worth is not based on how good we look. Our culture, boy, there's a big beauty industry out there. A flow of beauty products and cosmetic surgeries to help us maintain a youthful look. And that's where things can get out of control. Young girls and boys put so much attention into physical appearance just to be accepted. And men and women do the same. Along the way, the inner beauty that has been given to each of us cannot be forgotten. Our self-worth is what is important. Our self-awareness, and then knowing who God is in all of that, in my identity, in who I am. Can we rest in this wonderful knowledge of God's presence, in the very truth that helps us know that we are already accepted and we can accept ourselves? Quick to doubt you. You who created our inmost being, who knit us together piece by piece. Why would we think that our ways are greater than yours? Why do we try so hard to control everything and everyone around us? Our lives would be so liberated if we were not in you. You, Creator God, all-seeing and all-knowing. So forgive us for trying to always take the reins. We surrender ourselves to you and ask that you would form in our hearts a desire to seek you more, to put our trust in you. Amen. I want to talk a little bit about rest as we go into this time of prayer. Resting in God's presence is a way that we are encouraged. It affirms our hope and our faith in our Creator God, who knows us well. God is here now, and we recognize Him. And we see him now. Prayer is being loved at a deep level. What are the things that are keeping you up tonight? How are your relationships going? What are the challenges you're facing in your day-to-day living? We are his body as the leader, and God is here. So this time of prayer is to offer you rest. Rest with another person that wants to pray for you. It's going to offer you encouragement. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus understands our humanity. He himself experienced loneliness, weariness, and sadness. So we can come to him. And I just invite you today, if you feel a need to be prayed for, this is your opportunity. I want to pray for those here that may not want to come to the front, but stay seated. You can raise your hand, and one of us will come to pray with you. I'm not going to dismiss you immediately. I'm going to give us a little time, because I don't think we can dismiss quietly. So just be in prayer for each other, for that reinforcement of who we are in God as we come to this time of prayer. Matthew, Karen, Chris, would you come forward at this time?